south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You'll notice right away when you get down here, people have extreme tints on their car windows. Lots and lots of cars, especially SUVs, have windows that are dead black. At least it appears that way from the outside looking in, but not really dead black. On the inside, you can see, at least during the day you can see, but at night, Now, of course, up in the States, when you buy a car, you can get your windows tinted, but there's a limit to your tint. It's all based on what they call VLT, visible light transmission. And the laws are state by state in the U.S., so one state might be quite different from the other. For example, California has got a 70% VLT. In other words, 70% of the light has to get through the front and side windows. And for example, Nevada has 35% VLT. In other words, if you're driving your car in Nevada, you can drive around with tinted windows that only allow 35% of the visible light through. That means if your car is set up that way and you drive it into California, if you get stopped, you'll get a $500 fine, and they'll impound your car till you have that heavier tint stripped off and redone to a minimum 70%. I sort of wonder how many people in a year get pulled over and fined. Now, back in Chicago, where I hail from, I remember hearing of quite a few instances where people got pulled over because the cops thought their tinting was too heavy. But really, when you think a little deeper about it, they've got ulterior motives. Now, I don't even know how a cop can determine how your VLT, that's visible light transmission, can even be assessed. You'd need to have some kind of light meter, a photometer. So really what it seems like up in the States is tinted windows are just an excuse to give a cop a reason to pull you over. That's especially true with young men driving big old SUVs and muscle cars. By the way, has that ever happened to you? You ever been pulled over because the cop thought your tinting was too heavy? I doubt it, but it does happen. However, down here in Latin America, that never happens. Not only that, if you mention that in the States, they'll pull you over for that and fine you. Latinos will roll their eyes and say, if this is a joke, what's the punchline? And though I've been told by a Latin American lawyer here and there that there are window tinting rules from country to country, there isn't a street or transit cop who's ever even heard of such a thing. In fact, you've heard me say it before. The fact is, the vast majority of cops here in Latin America don't even own cars, so they're not up at all on the transit laws. Which seems really strange, I know. Say what? Transit cops who don't know the transit laws? But hey, that's why they call it the third world, right? So then you might ask, why do so many people here in Latin America have dead black tinted windows? Two reasons. Number one, the sun is intense. So if you want to beat the glare and beat the baking effect, the darker the tint, the better. However, you know, it also cuts down on your night vision tremendously. I'll tell you, many times I've been in a person's car at night, sitting on the edge of my seat because I can't see a thing. And if you can't, you know, the driver can't either. They say you can get used to anything. Never completely, though, never 100%, because there are some really bad drivers down here. You have to be on guard, on top of it, a very defensive driver. That means you have to be able to see through your windshield. And you longtime listeners have heard me talk about the fact that you can get a driver's license without ever taking a test, which is why a good percentage of drivers out there don't know the rules and they don't know what the hell they're doing. What I mean is there's always a guy who knows a guy, if you know what I mean. That means sometimes the guy in front of you, behind you, or alongside of you isn't even legal and is a terribly inexperienced driver. So be prepared to be on pins and needles sometimes when you start meeting new friends. I'm talking about friends with cars that have dead black window tint jobs. And I'm not just talking about locals either. I'm talking about gringos and expats. They get dead black tint jobs too. So, once again, reason number one to have heavy tint is to block the sun, the glare, and the heat that penetrates. Reason number two is so that bad boys and no goodniks can't see who's in the car. They're always going to go for the most vulnerable. Now, I don't want to make it sound like there's bad boys and no goodniks everywhere. There aren't. There are really nice sections of town in great neighborhoods in Latin America where you're absolutely safe all the time. Though there will be times when you're on an errand and you have to run across town and you pop through some crappy neighborhood, which again isn't a problem at all when you're on the move. It's when you're stuck at a stoplight or a stop sign that you just might be stopped next to two guys on a motorcycle, and you've heard me talk about how those guys can be dangerous. And those bad boys are not at all likely to target someone with dead black window tinting, because the situation's unknown. Might be a big old bad-tempered tough guy in that car that could rip a guy's head off. So those bad boys along the road usually found two on a motorcycle. They're basically looking for cars with light or no tinting. They're looking for women drivers with no one else in the car. Yeah, that's right. Bad boys and no-goodnicks are sexist. They love to pick on women, not men. Could that be because women are physically weaker than men? Oh, what blasphemy, Johnny. You can't say that. You're gonna get canceled for sure. And you deserve it. Said the idiot CNN talking head that looked a lot like Don Lemon. So then you might ask, why don't all women drivers have dead black window tinting? You'd think they'd all be wised up to that. Well, I can tell you a couple examples I know of personally where ladies have had that dead black window tinting and said they just can't drive, it's too dark. It makes nighttime driving a pain in the ass, and it really does. So they go to the corner window polarization shop, where they have their windows tinted to the max. Believe me, those places are everywhere. By the way, they don't call it window tinting, they call it polarizado, like polarized, polarizado. I believe that's because the company 3M sets the standards. That's the most expensive window tinting, 3M. So when you pick up a new or used car and you want to get your windows tinted, you go to one of those corner shops. They'll have various brands, you know, good, better, best, and 3M, the company 3M, makes the best and most expensive tinting. And they give a lifetime guarantee and stand by it. Down here, the best, 3M, is considered expensive. Though to us, it's not expensive at all. You can almost always get a whole car done for under $100, but you can also get a whole car done for under $30, too. So then what's the difference? Well, it's good, better, and best again. And when you get the cheap stuff, well, that might last 2 or 3 years, then it starts bubbling. Or just clouding up like a guy with cataracts. Not good, and it starts to look like shit, too. By the way, that's a good analogy for having tinted windows. It's like looking at the world through sunglasses or cataracts. Now, for most people with cataracts, and they're usually old-timers, they get by just fine during the day. It's at night when they can't see well. Same thing with tinted windows. Oh, and by the way, when you go to one of those shops that have your windows tinted, they've got like 5 or 6 different shades of tinting, from almost nothing, meaning hardly noticeable, to dead black. By the way, over the years, I've met quite a few Latinas who have cars who said they started out dead black and just couldn't handle it, so they went back and had some of that tinting removed and replaced with a lighter film. Anyway, in regards to good, better, or best, as you're driving around, especially in the big city, you'll be able to tell who the cheapskates are. Just by how their window tint jobs are holding up. If you buy the best, the 3M, it's guaranteed to hold up. It'll last the life of the car. Even if the car's left out all day in the sun in an uncovered parking lot. But the other stuff, the cheaper brands, starts bubbling and peeling after a couple of years. Looks cheap, looks awful. They call it corriente down here, which means low class. Anything that's corriente or mediocre, which is mediocre, is synonymous with low class or sort of equivalent to white trash or trailer trash in our book. Funny thing too, Latinos know what white trash is. They call it basura blanca. Basura means garbage and blanca means white. White garbage. They picked that up from seeing too many bad Hollywood movies. Oh, and just a little tip here. One of the worst things you can do, especially ladies, is to drive around with your window down or windows down. Which, by the way, is usually a sign the AC is not working in the car. So get it fixed, dummy. Because that's exactly what those bad guys on motorcycles are looking for. People with their windows down. Then they can stick their hand right in there and grab your cell phone. Or proceed to rip that gold bling right off your neck. And everyone down here kind of knows that. Gringos, expats, locals. You don't crack a window unless you have to throw a Coke can or McDonald's wrapper out on the street. Just kidding. Well, not quite, because you see a lot of that too. But you wouldn't believe how many people still drive around with their windows down. Of course, cigarette smokers are doing that all the time because it's the only way they can breathe. However, as for me, I don't have any sympathy for someone who gets their phone stolen because they have their window down. That's just stupid. And of course, these days, since everyone's addicted to their phone, when drivers are stopped at a light or a stop sign, they're not paying attention to their surroundings. They're talking or texting away. That's what drives me nuts about Uber drivers. They're whipping along and texting. So as far as being stuck at a stop sign or a stoplight, if you have your windows up and you've got some decent tinting, you're just not going to have a problem with bad boys and no-goodnicks. And as mentioned, problem areas only pretty much exist in bad or scruffy neighborhoods, and only when you're sitting at a dead stop. Now, I know we've had a lot of robbery talk here. I don't want to scare you into thinking this is pretty common stuff. It's not. I've been down here 31 plus years now, and I was only robbed once in my car 25 years ago in a Burger King parking lot. Nope, I wasn't ordering any toxic food. I was just sitting in my car waiting for someone. When a nicely dressed college-age kid tapped on my window, I opened my door a crack and he stuck a gun in my face. So, he was dressed like a college kid, but was a damn thief. It was a pretty good disguise and my fault for being so obliging. He got 50 bucks from me. But I got it back later from Burger King when I told him if they didn't give me that 50 bucks, I'd tell my story on the air for everyone to hear because I had a radio program at that time, syndicated in the big city markets of Latin America. Would have been great publicity for Burger King, huh? But like I said, that was 25 years ago. So let me tell you, if in the 25 years since then, I haven't been accosted or robbed since, especially because I get around and nose around a lot too, still, I've never been nicked. That means it could be the same for anyone with a minimum of common sense. Yet, you'll run into people all the time, especially young women, local girls, not gringas, who will tell you they've had their cell phones ripped off 2, 3, even 4 times. And when you dig deeper into the story, you'll find out it was almost always on public transportation or a chicken bus. And most frequently, too, with those gray market taxis. Yep, you know how they've got the traditional yellow, white, and checkered cab companies up in the States? Those are the authorized guys with city permits, right? Well, down here in Latin America, they've got the yellow and white cabs and all that, along with Uber and Lyft and alternative ride-sharing companies, of course. But there are also gray market scabs that are much cheaper. And their cars are, well, mostly disastrous shitboxes. And the reason why they're so cheap is because they'll pick up multiple passengers. In other words, you're going someplace, they'll stop for another guy, he'll get in, and another until you pack like sardines in there. And of course, that's an invitation for bad boys and no good nicks. And sometimes the driver's in on it. But man, they'll take you anywhere you want to go for just a buck or two. By the way, I rode in one of those things just once because I couldn't flag down a regular cab. It was a holiday or something. It was a smelly, sweaty, disgusting experience too. Oh, and need I mention, windows down, no AC, of course. When I got home, I needed to take a shower and have a double change of clothes. But hey, the ride only cost 75 cents, so you can see why those jokers do a brisk business. Especially when most people make only a couple hundred bucks a month. Oh, and as for my own personal tips regarding tinting your windows, what do I recommend? What do I do? After buying, selling, and going through, let me count them up, I don't know, 12 or 13 cars here in Latin America, I gotta say, I've got this tinted window thing down pretty well. I say get the heaviest tint possible on the side windows and the back window, but put a medium tint on your windshield. Because, as it turns out, even with the heaviest tint going on your side and back windows, you can see well enough through them during the day, and at night, it doesn't matter all that much. What matters is what you see through the windshield. So that's my recommendation. And do spend the extra 30, 40, or 50 bucks to get the 3M brand. It's guaranteed a lifetime, even though the mom-or-pop mechanic shop that applied the thing won't honor it. But don't fret. You won't ever have to worry about going back and haggling with the guy because a 3M product really does last the life of the car. And hey, I don't make a dime for saying that. It's just that I've been through this tinted window thing many times. Oh, and beware of that little trick that car dealers use. You'll buy a new car or a used one imported from the States that's not been tinted, and they'll offer you a tinting package for 100 to 200 bucks. I say, don't bite unless they're throwing it in for nothing to clinch the deal. My advice, get it done at the little corner shop for half the price. Oh, and by the way, as far as car burglar alarms, wow, that used to be a big thing down here, especially since car stereo theft was the number one reason people broke into cars. But now, since music CDs are long gone and passé, car break-ins here in Latin America are just a fraction of what they used to be. The fact is, you rarely hear car burglar alarms going off anymore, and when they do, people just don't pay attention. So, if you buy a car and they offer to put one in for you, I say, skip it. What I always do, however, is put in a kill switch. Now, you really long-time listeners heard me talk about that in the past. Send me an email, thexpedfiles@gmail.com, and I'll tell you how to put one in for under 10 bucks. I'll send you a little report I made on how to do it. Speaking of car break-ins, In fact, about 12, maybe 15 years ago, I had a light new Toyota 4Runner. Had it broken into three different times. Each time, they stole the stereo. Each time, the alarm went off and no one gave a shit. Since then, I've owned many cars and I haven't had a single break-in at all. Like I said, the whole break-in thing has kind of faded away ever since the music CD thing became passé. In fact, years ago, I can't tell you how many times I'd get into someone's car and there'd be wires hanging out of the space where the radio used to be. People had their car radio stolen so many times, they just quit replacing them. Left a big ugly hole in the dashboard, but hey, everyone's got their limit. However, you just don't see that anymore. Not since streaming took over. Now, of course, you know, everyone's listening to music from Spotify and YouTube on their cell phones. They just connect Bluetooth to the basic car radio and they're off and running. In fact, I've noticed many Uber drivers are pretty extreme about their choice in music. Hell, they're stuck in their cars for hours at a time. What I mean is, you know, they've got their dashboard screen, the one that shows the backup cameras, and they listen to music videos all day long with their favorite idiot reggaeton artists prancing away like the low-class fools they are on those dashboard screens. Which reminds me, I took a little trip to the Distrito Federal, you know, Mexico City, not so long ago. And like all big cities in Latin America, in fact, it's the biggest city in Latin America, 20-something million people. And by the way, it's absolutely running out of water. For that reason alone, and of course the pollution, I wouldn't want to live there myself. Nice place to visit, though. Anyway, like any big city, even small city or town in Latin America, there's music everywhere. It's just floating out of doors, businesses, restaurants, houses, the metro. And of course, every so often, from at least two blocks away, you can hear someone's coming up on you in a car with an absolutely massive stereo system hooked up, playing, of course, the worst kind of musical reggaeton dribble. They even play that shit in high-end restaurants. In fact, I was sitting in one of those places with another gringo when a Bad Bunny song came on in Spanish, and I couldn't believe they were playing that shit in such an upscale place, because the translation goes like this. If I put it in, don't call me, because this is not for you to fall in love. Hey, if your boyfriend doesn't lick your asshole for that, why even try? I am not kidding you. Those are the words to one of his latest hit songs. Obviously, he's got the talent and vocabulary of a fourth grader. But hey, since when has that stopped the music industry from belching out soon-to-be-has-been mental midgets? So when you're walking around the big city, I'd say 90% of the music you're bound to hear is that imbecilic, infantile reggaeton, with the occasional dabs of salsa music, ranchero, bachata, and classical baladas, ballads. But usually you'll hear that stuff going in or coming out of older shops where the propietarios, the owners, are old school and they're around on the premises. The thing is, you know, me playing in a rock band all those years in many places in Latin America, from about 1990 to 2005, all that was pre-reggaeton. Latin America was infused with salsa, bachata, classic romantic ballads, but mostly Latino rock. Back in those years, Latino rock was huge. In fact, they had their own supergroup, their own version of the Beatles. They were called Maná. Of course, they were all 100% derivative bad copies of U.S. and British rock and roll. But still, it was their rock and roll, Latino rock and roll in Spanish. It had a huge following with teenagers and young adults. And just like rock in the U.S. and England had its day, and now it's been taken over by rap, hip-hop, reggaeton, synthesizers, auto-tune, and drum machines. Same things happened here in Latin America. Latino rock and roll has died, or it's gone underground somewhere. Oh, and what you probably didn't know, there is also many versions of Latino metal rock. They had their own hardcore metal bands too, but all that's been displaced with a new generation of kids who love reggaeton. It really is a sad state of affairs. So what I'm saying is Latin rock bands and heavy metal bands are forgotten or virtually disappeared here in Latin America. And in its heyday, the Latinos that were into it are now 40 to 60 years old. And from what I can see, and I know a lot of these old rockers, they hate reggaeton too. By the way, most of them still have that old rock and roll collection at home and they listen to it. They break it out on occasion to remember what the world used to be like, just like old rockers from the States often do. So it's sad that down here in Latin America, their version of rock and roll and heavy metal has long since fallen from the ears of the mass public. It was mainstream till about 2005, but it ain't no more. And those long-haired singers and guitar heroes have long since faded away from sheer lack of interest. Anyone down here in Latin America that was born after about 1995, they don't listen to that stuff at all. So then, what of all the millions who loved Latin rock and roll? Well, you regular listeners have heard me say many times that Latin America has inadvertently become fertile ground to revive the careers, at least the pocketbooks, of the dinosaurs of rock. Well, guess what? Some smart promoters have put together what they call the Monsters of Mexican Metal Festival, a tour through Latin America which brings together 20 years of the best Latino rock and metal bands, which ain't saying much. They're not very good by U.S. standards. But, like I said, it was their own very popular version of rock and roll. Now, way back when, in the 90s and early 2000s, when I was playing in bands down here, I was on the same lineup with some of these groups, and they'd play covers of Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, plus their own Latino rock and roll music, too. Like Maná, Enanos Verdes, and other groups gringos and expats never heard of. Groups that were massively huge down here, but were mediocre and derivative by first world standards. Hey, that's why they call it the third world, right? That's not to say they don't have some spectacular musicians down here. And man, they can sing. But as for raw creativity, man, somehow that got left out of the genome. I hate to say it, but there's a reason why Latin Americans have never designed their own cars, microchips, rockets, or airplanes. Oh, they've got plants down here that do all that, all right. But they're only built by first world companies to capture the cheap labor. But you knew that already, right? So anyway, some smart promoters have put together a headbanger kind of tour that's just kicking ass and selling out. And almost everyone's over 40. That is the audience and the rockers. But the teaser, you know, what got this thing going, what guaranteed its success, was the fact they put some U.S. dinosaurs of rock on the tour. That was the icing on the cake. So, in Mexico City in February 2023, at a huge outdoor racetrack, that's where that 80s and 90s rock and heavy metal tour kicked off, with Def Leppard and Motley Crue headlining. However, what the crowd didn't know was that Motley Crue had a new guitarist subbing for Mick Mars, who can no longer tour due to his ankylosing spondylitis, causing him so much pain he can't move on stage anymore. Such is the fate of rockers and prize fighters who don't know when to throw in the towel. I mean, look at Phil Collins. Last year he toured with Genesis, a sick, wrinkly old man in a wheelchair. Is that how you want to see your old favorite rock stars fade out? No thanks, I don't dig those dinosaurs of rock tours myself. So anyway, the tour, the Hero, they call it, is a huge success. So for 4 hours, you can pay your 50 or 100 bucks and watch how your rock and roll 80s and 90s heroes have deteriorated. Double chins, fake hair, pot bellies and all. And that sellout tour's next stop, Monterrey, Colombia, Peru, Chile, Brazil, and Argentina. Sure, the crowds were huge and they're going over big. But do you think anybody who's watching those guys ask themselves the question why those big 80s and 90s rockers never came to Latin America till they were old and decrepit, never in their prime? You think those 50-something guys really want to go on tour again? They really want to be here? It's all about the cash, man. Just saying. Meanwhile, none of the members of Def Leppard or Motley Crue spoke a word of Spanish. And maybe only 5% of the crowd understood enough English to understand what any of the lyrics in their songs actually say. Then again, that's exactly what happened in the States when the Macarena came out, huh? Who knew what the words meant in that song back then? Or even now? Oh, and by the way, the other day I was at a Sunday afternoon get-together. I was sitting around with some 40 and 50-something Latinos talking about the ever-deteriorating state of music down here. When one lady said, back in the 90s, I used to hate heavy metal. She said, I used to say to my friends, when will this fade away? When will something new come along? And then it did. It was called reggaeton. Oh, for the good old days. Just goes to show you once again, be careful what you wish for. All right, how about an email? This is from George, Jorge in Spanish. He says, Johnny, longtime listener, my wife's a Peruvian. And when we heard you talking about four ex-Peruvian presidents who are in prison, and that the Peruvian prison specifically made to host disgraced former presidents will soon run out of space, that is, when the fifth disgraced former Peruvian president, Alejandro Toledo, is extradited from the U.S. back to Peru, as expected. Anyhow, he says, one would think that Peruvians around the world would be totally embarrassed by this state of affairs. But they're not. They keep believing political rhetoric around election time and vote in more scumbags. You have to wonder what the collective IQ is of Peruvian voters. Though my Peruvian wife is pretty smart, on average, the Peruvian population is pretty stupid. Or maybe just clueless and naive. However, Johnny, what you failed to mention when you were talking about those four Peruvian presidents in jail is that every one of the six Peruvian presidents elected since 1990 is either in jail, has been in jail, or has faced a detention order to go to jail. That's six presidential jailbirds in a row. How is that possible? Even crazier, Johnny, did you know there's a famous defense lawyer? His name is Cesar Nakazaki. He's defended three former Peruvian presidents who ended up going to jail anyway. The question is, if you're a president accused of malfeasance, why, if you could have any lawyer in the world, would you pick a defense attorney who's a three-time loser? Oh, and Johnny, you're absolutely right about how they get around going to jail. Even after they've been accused, found guilty, and sentenced, they just have a doctor write up a report saying they have certain health issues, and they ultimately get put under house arrest. Then, after spending just a little time in that luxury prison for presidential scumbags only, they're under house arrest. And Johnny, you should see those houses. Swimming pool, jacuzzi, guest house, personal chef. Oh, and Johnny, you didn't mention or you didn't know that two first ladies also have been jailed. But they don't have the privilege of house arrest. They go to regular prisons. There's a joke in Peru saying that's one way for a president to get rid of his aging, wrinkly wife. Just get indicted with her. Then you go home and she gets sent to real prison. And never the twain shall meet. Regarding this topic, one more thing you forgot to mention or you didn't know yourself, Johnny. Every one of the six jailed Peruvian presidents got their college degrees in the U.S. of A. And all of them tried and some succeeded to run there when they knew the indictments were coming. Just a few errant tidbits for your listeners, Johnny. Signed, Jorge. All right, thanks for that, Jorge. Now, about that Peruvian wife of yours, did you meet her in the States or did you meet her in Peru? Just wondering how that happened. Is she a Peruvian from the old country or a gringoized Peruvian? You know, child of the rich going to school up in the States on daddy's tab? There's a big difference. Do fill us in. Let us know.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.